Welcome into Freedom Play and Fun, a place where you get to step into your leadership today and really learn how to dive in. Today we have Robert Plank, and very excited to have him here. Let's start with Orjina Rose and we'll get going for the day. Welcome back in. I love the Orjina Rose song, so I hope you're dancing. It's one of those songs that makes me just feel so uplifted about stepping into your power. Maria, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Rhonda, and I'm so excited to have Robert here.
I am too, and I'm getting to know Robert pretty darn good, so I am excited to share this wonderful space with him. Welcome in, Robert.
Glad to be here.
Yes. So Robert is an online business coach and would like to help you manage your time, get your life back, and simplify your daily activities. And he uses a system with checklists, templates, and he's written a book within an hour, or writing a book within an hour, and becoming a published author within 12 hours. Yes, I love that tenacity. Robert, welcome. Welcome in. Happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Robert, there are a few things that you do, but I know that the space of being creative and being able to produce stuff is something that you are so good at. Can you give us more insight in the areas that you are working in right now?
Yeah, well, what I do is I create courses about how to do membership sites, how to make podcasts. I sell WordPress plugins, so that basically software that backs up your website, that creates a membership site, that creates landing pages. And then to promote that, I have a daily podcast, a weekday podcast. I have 10 books out there. I do, you know, I go out and do interviews and things like that. And when you do all that kind of stuff, you have to be good at, you know, managing your time and have the motivation going every day to do what you want to do and kind of know what's working and what's not. And so when I kind of got started, I was too much of the geek and I was too much of like focus on the technical stuff and kind of stuck in learning mode. And over the past like 10 years or so, I kind of figured out how to remove all the stuff that I didn't want and how to focus on what's important. And how to keep everything simple. That way it's all manageable and it kind of, you know, all makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Basically what you seems to represent is how to make a business simple. And really, I think a lot of entrepreneurs in particular from the beginning, they are making it difficult. And that mm-hmm. becomes just a struggle. So it's like, What is the simple advice you want to give entrepreneurs
just out of the gate, some simple advice. Some people aren't going to like this, but I think my number one secret is to just do 4 things a day. And I have a whole journal, a whole planner thing, but I used to have a big long to-do list. I used to have like a whiteboard on the wall where I'd like, you know, write stuff. And for some reason I'd write stuff on the whiteboard and whatever like little notes or bullet points or things I'd write, they would just kind of stay there for weeks at a time. And I'd kind of look at that whiteboard on the wall with some kind of dread. And then the to-do list kind of kept growing and growing. And maybe some people can relate to this. I'd have like, you know, 20 things I'd have to do and 30 things I'd have to do. And then I'd get maybe 2 things crossed off. And they were the 2 like easiest, but also the least important things. And it would just start growing and growing. And it reminded me of like when I was a kid, when I was maybe like 10, 12 years old, I went to my grandpa's house once and he used to like work for NASA. And I think he was involved with like putting like people on the moon and stuff like that. So he was really smart. But then he had this to-do list and it was literally like 20, 30 pages. And it was such a long to-do list that there was a table of contents on the front page to find like page 12 or page 20 of the to-do list. And I'm sure that you can relate. And so when I kind of found myself heading in that direction of the to-do list with the table of contents, I just, and after trying, you know, prioritizing stuff and focusing on certain things, certain days, all this confusing, complicated stuff. I just looked at, okay, what am I actually doing today and what I'm actually completing today and what I'm actually doing today that's making me money. And so after a while, I looked at, well, what's the ideal number of things for me to do every day? And four was the magic number. So what my number one secret, even though a lot of people seem to be like attached to their to-do list or they think that they can cram 20 things into a day, I like to just do four tasks. And one of those tasks is a quick 10-minute, just like a quick win. Like for me, it's send an email to my list. But for some people, it might be, you know, make some phone calls or deal with customer support or meet with your virtual assistant. So a quick 10-minute task and then three 45-minute tasks. And then anything else that kind of is important, either it gets dealt with eventually or it doesn't matter. But as far as keeping things simple, staying productive, four daily tasks, a 10-minute task, and then three 45-minute tasks is it's worked for me for years and years.
You know, and right away, I'm hearing all this stuff about how we set ourselves up for failure. I mean, a 25-page with notes and figuring out, you know, do I need to go to page 4? Do you need to go to page 20 with somebody that's extremely smart? So I'm also hearing that you can be really, really smart and know that you want to be an entrepreneur and you're getting out there and you're getting lost in the shuffle of not doing stuff that drives your energy. And I think of it that way too, because even as you're talking, Robert, I feel the energy and the preciseness of exactly where you're going with your conversation. And that gets lost as an entrepreneur if you're not, I guess, sticking to those four tasks. And I've never heard it this way before. And so you broke it down eloquently. And I can see how that can make things move forward and feeling like you're in the flow. So for you in your day, you are efficient and effective, but putting that in perspective, as you're going through your day, even though you have your four things that you do, what are some of the things that still get you stuck?
The things that get me stuck is kind of finding the right fit for what I'm trying to do. So, you know, when you plan, like, as you know, like sometimes you'll plan things for the day and then you either like won't finish all the things that you planned, or maybe some days finish nothing, or plan too small and then it's all done by like noon and you're like, oh shoot, I got to have the rest of the day there. So for me, it's kind of like trying to find the right fit. And usually my tendency is to bite off more than I can chew. And so sometimes I'll list like four things that I want to do, and then I'll only get like two or three of those things done. And sometimes I can feel bad about it, but it's just a thing like I have to get over. And so that's kind of my difficulty is kind of is finding, like, when I choose those four tasks, to choose four tasks that I actually complete. Because as you kind of said and implied there, it's like it's important to set up that habit of always finishing the things that you start. And that's kind of like the problem with a to-do list is the to-do list is a recipe to keep opening up new things and starting new projects. And next thing you know, you hear all these people who say they're spread too thin or they're burned out. It's because you're spending all your time switching gears from one thing to another. Mm-hmm. And so I usually figure out the four things I'm going to do. And I don't have my paper right now, but basically my four tasks for today was, number one was I had to send out some broadcast emails to my list. Number two is I have to get up on my podcast, which you mentioned. Number three is I'm hopping on this interview to talk to you ladies here. And then number four is I have to do a little bit of computer programming, because that's still kind of a thing that I do. And so so I have to find the right fit. And so sometimes I'll choose those four things I'm going to do, and some days just like not one of them gets done. And then that's a sign that things are really, really bad. And I have to look at those four things and figure out, okay, well, how do I set the next day up for a quick win? And that might be, if I have those four things I was going to do and I didn't get anything done, maybe I just choose one. And the next day I break that up into little pieces. So that way, even if I didn't get finished what one of those tasks was yesterday, at least I had somewhat of that forward progress. And then there's some days when maybe I get only three out of the four things done, and there's that one task that's left. And then I have a decision to make, because there's no rollover minutes. There's no, like, it can't become five things the next day, six things. But then I have a decision to say, okay, so that thing that I didn't get to yesterday, how important is it? And maybe it wasn't important at all, and I just kind of put it on the list because I had to think of four things. So maybe I can drop it, maybe I can put it on my Google Calendar. That way, in a week from now, I get reminded to pick that back up again. Or maybe it was a really important task, and maybe I have to do that the first thing tomorrow. And then what happens to me sometimes is sometimes that one thing that I've been like putting off gets carried over day after day. So maybe on like Monday, I say, here's the things I want to do. One thing doesn't get done, and it ends up on the list for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And by that time, I'm like, okay, now it's like kind of shit or get off the pot time, pardon my language, but you're just like, either it's got to happen today or not at all. But just kind of keeping it simple kind of keeps it all in your head. Like people always say, like, you know, phone numbers are grouped in 3 and 4 chunks. I don't know how things are in Sweden as far as the phone numbers, but phone numbers are kind of grouped together, because if the phone number was like all 8 things long, you wouldn't be able to keep it in your head. But by having those 4 tasks, you kind of become aware if there's something that's not getting done or if there's something that's just not important.
I love that, because it also makes the clarity of if something is not done and you keep having it on your 4 things, you have to actually ask yourself the question, like, is this something that I really need to do or have to do?
Exactly.
But I'm curious of your time management, because I can imagine that you're having some time management in this. So how there's this book called Rest. I don't remember the author's name, but for instance, he speaks about important that we rest our mind between working chunks. So he actually suggests working in 90 minutes and then having a rest, and then in the middle of the day having like a 3-hour rest. So are you thinking in terms of time management, or how you're using your time when you're doing your tasks?
Yeah, I definitely put those breaks in between, and I definitely I don't just go from one task to another. And I think that kind of like I said, multitasking sucks. With multitasking, mm-hmm. you're spending most of your time switching back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so I have that task, I kind of do what I need to do, and then I get up and I get away from the computer and I go and do some, you know, go and do some laundry, go and do the dishes, go for a walk, go get in the car. But I definitely get that task knocked out, and then once it's done, I get off the computer, because the alternative is being one of those people that sits at the computer for 8-10 hours a day and thinks they're getting a lot done, but they're not. And that was a kind of a hard lesson to learn there, that sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that we're getting so much done, and really we've been sitting at the computer for 12 hours checking email, checking Twitter. But having that focus and having the breaks, like you mentioned there, of just like get the stuff knocked out, once it's done, get up and get off the computer.
I like the balance that I'm hearing there also. So being efficient and getting things done, but also, because what I find is that if I don't give myself the space to go and take a break, and that I believe we all know that as an entrepreneur, well, you need to go and take a break. But sometimes we'll just keep flowing and flowing into it, and you find your energy going way down, and it's hard to make those decisions of, like what you said, Robert, how come I didn't get this certain thing done? Or why can't I get enough energy to get my third task done that I already know is important? And what I really like what you're saying is that you are going in the flow of where you can get results. So you're always starting your day saying, okay, I'm taking a step back. And from here, what are the things that I need to do today that I've already learned from the days before that are working and in the flow? So you can make those so meaningful and not get lost in Twitter and Facebook, because I think we all need to go there. If we are building our business through the social media, we're taking care of certain groups. So when you're working with clients, you're talking about plugins for their website, you're talking about even book writing and stuff. Do you layer in these components as you are doing the techie stuff on the side? It seems like there must be some flow there as you're working with a client.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely something as far as like, you know, kind of connecting the abstract time management stuff to actually getting stuff done. There's lots of little mind games that I kind of like work into things to kind of give myself an artificial sense of urgency. And so, for example, like an example of that is like sometimes I'll meet with a coaching client, and sometimes we'll just like get something knocked out while we're meeting that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to knock out. So what comes to mind is I have this one coaching client who's a doctor, and he kind of is a little too hands-on with the computer stuff, and he probably should outsource that to someone else, but I mean, whatever. So then, so sometimes we'll meet with them and we'll be like, oh, what about this? Like sometimes he'll have to call his web host and get a certain thing from his web host for us. And like, there's been meetings when he's just been like, I've been putting this off for 3 weeks. Let's just hang on hold. Cause like he has to call HostGator or something. He has to be on hold for half an hour just to talk to someone. But he's like, instead of me dreading it for weeks and weeks, let's get this knocked out. First thing, we'll be on hold for 30 minutes. We'll deal with that. Next 30 minutes, we'll deal with our meeting. And so sometimes I'll contact my business partner and I'll just be like, can we just meet and I'll just knock out this quick 10 minute thing, or can I get another set of eyes on this? And just like doing something like that and doing something during a meeting kind of forces you to not have all the stuff in the background. And then there are even times when I kind of like trick my mind into doing some of these things. So like something concrete is that that method of making a book in or speaking it out in an hour, going from the idea to being published in 12 hours. That kind of method, what I do as part of that is if I'm listing, say, or if I'm outlining the chapters of a book, right? Say like I want to have a book. And what frustrated me in that kind of process is someone would say, well, just make your outline whatever. Have any number of chapters you want. I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. And so like my system for having a book is I say this. I say, you go around, look at other books, look at message boards, Facebook groups. You find actual problems people are trying to solve. And then you list out 10 questions that these people are having. So not 10, chapter titles, not 10 keywords, but 10 questions. And that's one of those little like mind games where it's super weird where, if you say, I don't know if I'm talking about like a website, like how to put a logo on your website, right? If I wrote out that the name of my chapter is logo for website, that's kind of boring. But then if the name of my chapter was like, how do I put a logo on a website? Then it's like, my brain's already thinking of ways to answer that. And then I either have other mind tricks, like part of my system for making a book is I list out these 10 questions and it has to be exactly 10, not 20, not five, exactly 10. That way you kind of have to do the exercise and get it in there. And then after I list out those 10, part of it is to cross out three. And so that's like one of those weird mind tricks where because you had to list 10, maybe ideas number 1 through 6 were good. Maybe ideas 7 and 8 were kind of iffy. And then 9 and 10, you wouldn't have thought of that unless you got through those medium ones. And then, so if I say, all right, you're planning a book, you're planning your chapter titles, instead of thinking of titles, you're thinking questions. So that's one mind trick there. You list out 10. So that kind of forces your brain to do the work. You cross out three of them. So then you have to focus, you have to decide, well, what's really important? Which of these questions or chapters are going to stay or going to go? And then if I'm down to like the last one or two and I'm just like, okay, I can't bring myself to cross out these really good ideas for chapters, maybe I can combine them into other chapters or questions and make it kind of like, two in one. And that way I'm guaranteed to have a book that, I don't run out of gas, right? I don't get stuck anywhere. I don't run out of ideas or don't run out of content for a chapter there. And so like this little things like that to kind of trick my brain in a small way to get to where I want, if that makes sense.
I really love this. And I'm, because what I'm hearing is you have this curiosity, like you're going out and you're searching for what people really want and what they're asking questions about. So you're responding to that, which means that you're actually, there is a market out there that has a need, and you're actually identifying and defining the need by doing your research around it, and then you responding to writing a book or probably an article or something else. And I'm thinking that a lot of entrepreneurs are coming from themselves and their expertise and their knowledge about something. So they're starting from themselves rather than from the need out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people talking about what they feel they should talk about, or if they were teaching like a university class or something, how they would structure it, which no one really cares about. But I mean, yeah, and in general, like any kind of writing that you're doing, if it's an article, blog post, whatever, I mean, try this exercise. Try like, instead of making the title for it, make the title a question. And then even if you're maybe even like break it down to like three sub questions, right? And then, and so if you're like, have your title, make it a question, have like three things below it. So maybe if my, the title of an article was like, what are three things the website needs? And maybe if it's like a logo, a headline, and a button just off the top of my head. So then you make the title of that article, what three things does the website need? And then you put in your, down in your article before writing anything, put a question that's, you know, why do we need a logo? How do I get one? Have another question that's, what's a headline and how do, what should I write for my headline? Another question could be, what's a buy button? How do I put it? How do I put it on a web page? And then fill in the gaps and answer each question, and then delete the questions afterwards, and then reword your title into not being a question. And what's interesting, and what's interesting about that is it'll probably take you, you know, a minute to get that set up. It'll probably take you 10 seconds to delete it at the end. And then you, and then in between there, you probably got whatever you were going to write. You probably got it written in, you know, half the time, or it didn't take you hours this time because you kind of put the right pieces in place and then do what you had to do, then remove kind of the scaffolding. And then no one has to know that you put those questions in place to get to where you needed to get to.
I love listening to your process and your flow. I'm going with you along with that and how you're creating your best work. And I'm hearing the creativity. There's two areas that you're really working in as an entrepreneur. It's very interesting. The creativity side and how you get there. And you're also a numbers person, and being able to bring that together is something that is very enticing. What I like is that you're saying, go out there and see what's happening before you're producing something big. Because beginner entrepreneurs, maybe entrepreneurs that have been around for a while, you can spend so much time and energy on the back end of creating and doing something before you're even making the money. And so to be able to have something that you know is already going to sell and starting to sell that before the process even fully happens is an interesting thing too. I was thinking about, because you already know what people want. So it's almost easy. And I'm wondering if you do this, Robert, with your clients, it's almost easy to put a face on something and have people opting in and maybe even paying for certain things because you've already done your research of what people are looking for. And you are already giving yourself time to be able to build that. So I can see how the income flow can come in pretty darn quick because you already know it's going to be a good seller. It's just how you put it on your website and how you do certain things. But is that the approach that you do as you're trying to get the flow and the creativity side?
Probably without even realizing. You're telling me things about myself didn't even realize, but it makes perfect sense with the numbers and the creativity coming together. But yeah, like it's kind of like if you're solving people's problems, it adds that reassurance that you're not just making stuff up out of thin air. You're actually helping people. And then you probably have seen this too. It's like when you're an expert in whatever subject matter, it's really easy to make things way too advanced, right? Because that's what's exciting to you. And the things that you've heard over and over again, you're like, well, who cares about the simple basic stuff? But then you go out and you look at, you know, what people are searching for, what people are asking about. It's always the super duper simple stuff. So why make it more complicated than it has to be? You know, why make it like an exercise in academia? Why not just, you know, make things, if people are looking to get started, give them that, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I really love it. And I think you're nailing it. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs really has that problem because they have some expertise they want to bring out rather than seeing how are people speaking about this and what is the problem they're actually having. And for some, it takes many, many years to reach there. So I'm like, you're super clear on that. They should get you as a coach for it.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's something about you need to be really ready for it, ready to take in the information, because I've been in that track and I'm like, it took me some time to transition into understanding and actually hearing what people were saying they were having problem with, because for me, it was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like an epiphany, like, oh, people really need that. And yeah. What I really am hearing is over threaded through this whole talk is simplicity. And so this is the part of our podcast where we talk about, you know, what are some of the takeaways as they have learned through this time with us, and simplicity. And simplicity can be difficult because our brain already goes to what we know, but to clean it up a bit and remember where you first started, that's where you're going to be able to support people more. So looking at what you're building and what you're doing, and I don't know if the right word, but dumbing it down, like making sure that it's very simple so people can eat it in bite sizes instead of feeling overwhelmed. Robert and Maria, I'd love to hear some of the takeaways for today, maybe some steps forward for people.
I mean, I think a step forward for people is to think about what, or to decide on what four tasks that you're going to do today. And even if you have made a to-do list in the past, I mean, just kind of try this exercise. Just think about, if I only had four things to do today, what would those four things be? And I mean, it's like, you know, what if you were like in the hospital or something and the doctor said, like, medically, you can only do four things a day, you'd somehow find a way to make it work. And I think that there are all kinds of little techniques. So I would always be on the lookout for whatever quick technique that you hear about to get things going. So even like, you know, today, like we talked about, you know, get up out of off the computer and get out of the house and go for a walk just to kind of clear your head. And there's all kinds of little techniques. Like one thing that I like to do sometimes is I'll set a countdown timer. So like, you know, every phone has a countdown timer, or you can do a Google search and do like countdown timer 40 minutes. And right there in any web browser is a countdown timer that ticks away. It's built right into Google. So just Google search countdown timer 40 minutes and it'll count down for you. And then another weird thing that I do that's really simple though is I'll record my screen. Like there's all this, you know, screen recording software, and a free one is screencast-o-matic.com. And I'll just record my screen of the thing that I've been putting off. And it just does this weird psychological thing to you, because the recording thing's blinking, you're on your screen there, and you're not going to go and switch off to your email or your Twitter because your screen's recording. So something really simple and really easy and kind of goofy, but I mean, if it works, I'll take it.
I love that hack. And along with that, Robert, oh, Maria, I hear, is there a question there? Are you just
that. And I actually done, when I started to use a timer in my working chunks time, I'm not dissipating my energy on being on Facebook or doing things that is just messing up my time. I'm being much more focused and concentrated. So it's really easy to discipline yourself just by using.
It's easy, but it's hard, isn't it? It's like, it's easy to get lost in the day. So Robert, where can we flow people to make sure that they learn these efficient and effective ways of wonderful approaches that you've been talking about?
You can find me at robertplank.com. I'd have that podcast, a 5-day week podcast, and there's links to all my stuff there. There's a Facebook group, tasks.com/group. And what we do in there is literally we only post our four things every day. And everyone likes to abbreviate stuff. So like if it's like, Twitter and Facebook, they might say TF. And by the way, like one thing that I kind of forgot about, but I remembered again, is you mentioned there like things like Twitter and Facebook are really important, but you might be like jumping in really quick and you might be tempted to like be distracted. So chunk up or batch up all your social media into one of those 40-minute blocks to do all your Facebook and all your Twitter. That way you don't get all distracted all the time. But in our, we have a Facebook group where we post all that kind of stuff, and all my other, books and products and stuff are in there. I have a productivity course called Time Management on Crack, a book called 100 Time Savers, where it's a list of, they're all ways to save 1 minute. So there's 100 different ideas of like just ways to save time in the morning, in the evening, on your computer, off the computer. And so if you only picked up 10 of those and you save yourself 10 minutes a day, after a year, I think it's something like 60 hours that you freed up. So what is that? Like almost 3 days. So those little hacks, little things, they work. So just find something that works for you. But robertplank.com is where you can find my podcast, courses on the WordPress, the geeky stuff, but also the books on the time management stuff.
Love it, Robert. Thank you for sharing this space with us. Love it.
You're very welcome, and thanks for inviting me.
Enjoy your Gina Rose, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you.